Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Religious Education for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guest, Mrs. Debbie Shea, who is the facilitator for Endow at the Corpus Christi Cathedral. Now, Debbie, thank you, first of all, for being here. And we both know that Endow stands for Educating on the Nature and Dignity of Women. But before we get to the program itself, can you share a little bit about yourself?
Yes, I have been in the area for about 30 years, and I'm a convert. I'm married to my husband, Dan, and for over 30 years, and we have 5 children. Our oldest is 29, and our youngest is 12. So I have always loved learning about the Catholic faith, and I found one of the ways to best learn is to get involved teaching. And so I've just been involved in many different teaching aspects of the Church over these years. And I happened upon this Endow program. And so it just has fit my life really well at this point.
Well, let me ask you now, Endow is a program for women. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that women that benefit through the program then share their gifts with their husbands, their boyfriends, their dads, I mean, everyone else in the family. So this program can impact everybody. But what makes you particularly interested in ministry to women?
Well, I think John Paul II, his letter to women, I think is what really, jump-started this program, because a lot of people didn't understand their true dignity as women. Society and the world want to give a different message to women. And I think the women who started this program saw that women, when they understood their true dignity and their gifts that they have to give to the world, that they could, very consciously give those gifts in a way and see their beauty and see their own beauty in themselves and in other women. So it really helped me as a person and as a woman to celebrate, my motherhood, my being a spouse, and then seeing the bigger picture of what that does for society. And so I know that other women would enjoy that as well.
Well, I can imagine that there are many women out there that need that extra push, that need that extra encouragement. I know I'm a mother of 3, and I get challenged daily. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important for all of us, men and women, to receive words of encouragement, words that remind us of our dignity, and words from the Church that lift us up.
Yes, and, a lot of times people who either I don't know that, being a mother sometimes seems like not a very glamorous job. So it's not really given the dignity that it deserves. But women also have other gifts. They're, like with their spouses, there's a complementarity that they have to their spouse. And so while the world would like us to compete with men and maybe say we need to have the same gifts as men or have to be equal with them, either or by measuring us by our salaries or by our dress size, there's things that the world tells us that are just not true about ourselves. And so when we see ourselves through God's eyes and we see the beauty that we have as women, then we can give those gifts in a very beautiful way. I think a lot of times women don't realize that that their gifts complement maybe what someone else is doing in a situation, that we have a sensitivity to the human person like maybe men don't have.
Well, that nurturing sensitivity.
Yes, and because we're made to give birth, we have a receptivity to life that, another person coming in our presence, we're more just naturally more receptive to that person. We can see them as a child of God, you know, not, and men may think in a little more pragmatic terms. They might think more economically, whereas a woman, you know, sees the soul of a person and sees their dignity in a different way.
So tell me, how is Endow, how does it work? How is the program maybe a little different from others? What is your experience with the program? What is it for?
Well, they encourage us to get in groups of probably 8 to 12 women. And we've kept the same 8 to 12. We've kept the same women throughout. We're going on about our third year of meeting together. They designed the program like that, I think, because women like a very deep relationship with other women. And they like a place where they can be safe and talk and express themselves in a safe environment where people aren't judging them or where they have a lot of empathy and they can get to know each other on a very deep and intimate level. And so we've really, you know, developed a safe place for people to try to discover their faith but also discover themselves, how God sees them in light of their womanly roles. So we study different encyclicals. We've also studied different other women that are saints in the church and that have writings. So we read those together, and they have discussion questions. But they also use the writings of these of our popes or of these women to jumpstart more catechesis, a deeper catechesis, so that we understand our faith a little deeper as well.
What do you think, or what is the hope for Endow to offer these women? They want to educate them on their dignity. Do they want them to leave more uplifted or feel better about themselves?
Well, I think education is really the key here, that when we understand our God better and when we understand how God loves us, that we can bring that love into these very intimate relationships of our lives. Women touch people in a deeper way. Just, you know, a mother nurturing her child, a woman with her spouse, or even in the workplace, a woman, you know, knows the importance of sending a card. She knows, you know, how to touch a person in a very deep and personal way. And when we understand how God loves us, we can bring that to society, really humanize the way people, you know, interact with each other, can bring a different aspect to that interaction where maybe it wasn't before. So I think education is probably the key, and discovering our church and just what a beautiful faith we have on a deeper level. And then again, we influence so many people's lives. So when we can bring that into the world in a very intimate way.
Now, you said earlier that we are complementary to, let's say, to other people, and we have gifts that we have to offer. But in particular, you talked about how men and women might be treated differently in the workplace or in families, let's say. Why is it important for women to realize that they have a special role created by God as a daughter of God? A special role in ministry, in the family. Now you've talked about a woman being nurturing and being able to see people's souls. But I think in today's society, with a lot of degradation of just the human person in general, why is it important that women speak up and women learn and get educated about their dignity?
Yeah, well, I think women can be part of the, I mean, they're just more vulnerable in certain respects in the world, but that also we can get a misperception about ourselves, like who we are. We can let the world tell us that, you know, we have to be like a man or that we have to have certain qualities that maybe aren't really our strengths. And so we forget our strengths. And rather than using the gifts that we have, we push those aside as if they're not valuable. And so in recognizing that, you know, that the world does need women to be very good close friends, to be very intimate, to receive others, to be welcoming, to be hospitable, we bring a lot of beauty to the world. And so, you know, that we can use these gifts to help whatever it is we're involved in.
And I like how you talk about beauty into the world, and it just reminded me of when the woman is happy in the household, then everyone is happy. I mean, I've gone to my house, and if I'm not happy, I notice that then everyone else is somber. And so it's kind of a big responsibility to make sure that I'm doing well. That way my children are doing well. My husband's happy, because they do all look to us. Yes. For that joy.
Yes. And even bringing some physical beauties into the world as well. You know, just the little things we do with flowers, or making a table look nice. And, you know, there's a lot of things that we just make the world a little more beautiful and hospitable.
Well, you do talk about sending cards to people just to let them know that you're thinking about them, and that's important, whereas that other person might be needing that card at that moment.
Yes. Yeah, so yeah. Women have a certain sensitivity to the soul that just by nature, you know, by our nature, the way God made us, that we have that gift.
Stay with us on Labors of Love as we continue to talk about Endow.
This is Labors of Love.
September 22nd through 27th, Philadelphia will host the World Meeting of Families 2015 with the theme, The Family Fully Alive. This event is expected to draw an international audience. Tens of thousands will participate in this week of celebrating the family, with speakers and activities for people of all ages. Activities will culminate in the first ever visit by Pope Francis to the United States. The Diocese of Corpus Christi is coordinating a pilgrimage to the World Meeting of Families in Papal Mass. Here's your chance to spend 8 days and 7 nights in historic Philadelphia, the cradle of American liberty, and celebrate Mass with the Holy Father. For complete information on this pilgrimage, call the Diocese Office of Family Life, 882-6191, or you can visit diocesecc.org.
Welcome back to Labors of Love. Again, I'm with my guest, Mrs. Debbie Shea, facilitator for Endow at the Corpus Christi Cathedral. And Debbie, like I mentioned, Endow stands for Educating on the Nature and Dignity of Women. And we talked a little bit about the program, what it's for, who it's for. I'd like to ask you, what are some of the topics of study when you all get together?
Well, we really use a lot of the documents of the church. And so we have done the main one that most people start with is the letter to women. John Paul II lets women know that they do have these beautiful gifts, and that to use them for God, and to, you know, that's the way we're made, and that we could use those gifts in evangelization. But also we had one on the Mother of the Redeemer, which was one of my favorite, because Mary is our highest expression of what John Paul calls the feminine genius. And I never get tired of John Paul calling me a genius. But her generosity, her trust in God, her receptivity to God himself is a great model for us, you know. And so we learn about our womanhood through studying Mary, developing a relationship with her, and, you know, continuing that relationship after even the study is gone. It helps bring us to a better place of having this beautiful model as a woman.
And that, when I think of Mary, I think of her being the ultimate model of womanhood.
Yes.
And what we should all try to attain.
Yes, and that God decided to have a mother. I mean, it's, you know, it's just a beautiful part of God's plan, that she's very, very important to us. To God's plan of salvation, but to each one of us, you know.
I would agree. She is my mother. What other things do you all discuss?
We also did some on particular women. Like right now we're studying St. Catherine of Siena and her writings, The Dialogue. And she's a fascinating woman who made a very big impression on the church's history. She helped bring the Pope back to Rome when he was in Avignon in France. So she had a lot to do with even the history of the church. So, but she was the Pope's called on her for advice, And so she was a womanly voice in the church that helped give direction at a time when the church was very broken and lost.
And the church listened.
Yeah, these popes listened. But she was a very she's a very persistent woman.
Good.
She wrote letters. Actually, she's amazing that she's a doctor of the church because she was illiterate. And but she used scribes to write letters. She was very passionate about what the church needed at that time. She wanted to reunite.
That I didn't know.
Yeah,
she was illiterate.
Yeah, she was illiterate. So she was, I think, the 24th of 25 children. So.
Oh my gosh!
Yes. So she's a real inspiration for studying a particular woman like that. It also helps. Some of us actually traveled to Denver and got to go to a training there, actually in Denver, where this Endow program started. And there, some of us got to learn about Edith Stein. There, we had a class on Edith Stein, and so that was another very fascinating woman of her time that influenced the church greatly. And she's another her writings have influenced, she was a very intelligent woman, and I think she had a lot to do with, the developing documents later that John Paul II wrote. So
in other words, with the Endow program, these women are not just getting fed information, but they're actually getting fed models of other women that they can look up to, that they can attest to, and just model themselves after.
Yes, and realize that we do have an important history, a part of the history of the church, and that we've played important roles, and that we still have an important role to play in the church.
No, well, and let's talk about that with our listeners, Debbie. What are some of the things that you feel women gift to the church?
Well, another program that I'm very involved in is RCIA. And I do that because, I was brought into the church as a convert. And I think, again, it goes back to this womanly idea of hospitality and welcoming, that someone who comes to the church and doesn't know and is looking and seeking, that they find a place. And a woman does have a natural tendency just to be hospitable and welcoming, listen to the person's, soul and their struggle on finding where they should be. So, I think every woman has, some of these qualities, and you see a lot of women teaching CCD, things like that, they are naturally welcoming to children, to bringing people into the church. And so I think we have a very important role to play in that liaison, that we bring them to Jesus, in a sense,
I like the way you say that. When I was director of religious education, even as diocesan director, there are many, many women, hundreds of women that are catechists in the church that teach the faith to our young people. And it is such a passion of theirs. So they play a very important role in the church.
Yes, yes. One of the classes that we want to do that we plan to do in the future is on Humanae Vitae. We think with the upcoming ideas on or talks on the family, that this is probably something that's going to be looked at and addressed again. And so we want to refamiliarize ourselves with that. So I think in an upcoming study soon, we're going to plan on that one in the future.
As a matter of fact, we are planning as a diocese preparing for the World Meeting of Families to be held in Philadelphia next September 2015. And so it's good to hear that there are some things in the works in the parishes to prepare people to really, we need to focus on the family and really go back to the family, understand what family is, how it can harm or heal us or both, and just really lift up the family as well.
Right. And as women, in families, I think we have our children's ear in a particular way. We're the ones in the car riding with them. We hear what happens after school. We help them process, what's going on in the world and what that really means. We challenge things they hear on TV. So we're giving a theology lesson all the time, right from our laps, right from our kitchen tables. And so it's very important in the formation of our children that we be educated and that we be able to, you know, say to adequately portray to our children what the church teaches and the proper theology.
And really be a loving witness to them.
Yes,
embracing them, consoling them, like you say, guiding them in the faith, because that's what we promised to do when they were baptized. And even then, for those of us who are not baptized in the Catholic faith, just being that good role model, that witness for everyone, your coworkers, everyone you encounter, that smile that you offer them as a woman, goes a long way.
And I think the one thing that the group offers in that way is that as I'm reading many of these documents, I see it fleshed out in the women that I'm with. You know, they're very beautiful examples of loving service to not only their own families or wherever they work or the how they outreach to other people. Their lives and their stories really flesh out whatever it is we're reading. So it's really, you know, they're very beautiful examples of womanhood where, you know, we can see that in each other and it strengthens us, you know, in the process.
So I'm hoping that some listeners are getting excited about this. How can a woman get involved?
Well, there's a training, I think, that's pretty easy to do. I did one here at the diocese that you hosted, but I've also done it on a CD. They'll send you a CD to help you get started. The cost used to be a lot more, and they've brought the cost down to $20 a book. You know, we do a book. We do one about one a semester. You can do it quickly in 8 weeks, but we like to draw it out because we all like to talk and discuss. So we take about 16 weeks to do it, to do a class. So we do about two a year. And to facilitate, it's very easy. It's the book is laid out. There's not even a teacher's manual. Everybody has the same book. We all share the time reading. It's just a matter of organizing, holding the class, and then maybe planning out exactly how far you're going to go in a class. But you don't even have to do that. It's pretty simple.
And I understand that the diocese is in need of some facilitators.
Yes, you know, it's a good way to help strengthen, you know, and build relationships with other women. I think strengthen your own faith, learn more about the church, and just I think it makes you a better woman. I think it's made me a better mother, a better spouse, just more conscientious of what I'm doing and how I'm, you know, playing a role maybe in
an
helping building.
Role.
Yes, in not only my children and husband's lives, but, you know, maybe a part of the church too.
Well, Debbie, I thank you for being a facilitator for Endow. I myself have gone through the training and really enjoy the program, and I think it's essential that our women today understand their God-given dignity as daughters of God, and that they understand and know the importance and the impact that they have and can make in our world today. So thank you for your service, and stay with us. Sacred Moments with Deacon Nolte is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
A friend recently shared a story about her brother with me. In the course of the story, she exclaimed, "My brother is so judgmental." Based on her story, I tended to agree with her. Nonetheless, her words struck a chord deep within my heart as I thought of the many times I have made similar remarks. How many times in a day do we make judgments about others? And how many times are those judgments negative? You might complain about a coworker who talks loudly on the phone because it seems that they're being disrespectful to you and your fellow workers. While that may be true, it may also be that they are hard of hearing and don't realize how loud they are speaking. We might see a person we think is homeless standing on the corner with a sign asking for money or work, and we think to ourselves, there are plenty of jobs out there if they really wanted to work. He's just lazy. Why should I give him money? Let him earn his keep just like I do. Consider that if we live long enough, almost every one of us will go through a period of unemployment sometime in our life. If you were desperate for a job, would you be willing to hold a sign asking for work? Or would you ask friends or seek other means to find one? Our methods might be different, but the need is the same as that of the person holding the sign. Jesus asked his followers, "Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the beam in your own eye?" As my friend concluded her story, I silently asked myself the question, "And who judged the brother as being judgmental?" The Catechism of the Catholic Church describes rash judgment as assuming the moral fault of another to be true without sufficient foundation. It also says that the evaluation of conditions for moral legitimacy belongs to prudent judgment. All too often, we assume the right to make judgments about others while we fail to make the same judgment about our own life. Shortly before he asked his disciples about the splinter in their brother's eye, Jesus told them that the lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is sound, your body will be filled with light. But if your eye is bad, your body will be in darkness. And if the light in you is darkness, how great will the darkness be? How dark would life be with a beam in our eye? Jesus also said, "You have heard you shall not kill, and whoever kills shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment." He was speaking of the judgment of God, not the judgment of men. After all, who are we to judge? May God fill your heart with charity for others and the humility to recognize the beam in your own eye, and may he grant you prudence to see truth as you seek your place in the labors of his love. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guests, Mrs. Debbie Shea, for speaking to us about the Endow program in the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you would like more information, please visit Endow, E-N-D-O-W, online.org. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
This has been Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. If you'd like to hear this or a previous program again, or download it to your device, browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Religious Education, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.